Would you find in your Bibles Luke chapter 2, verse 41 and following? Luke chapter 2, verse 41 following. Has anybody ever been in panic mode? Anybody had a heavy something on your heart to put you in panic? I see some heads nodding. Most of them are awake. Okay. At Busch Gardens, I can't remember if it was last summer or the summer before, but we took the grandkids, Carol and I, and it was a job. The four younger ones, we turned the two older ones loose. They go do their thing. But we had the four younger ones, and as we were going through one of the areas, some of you remember, like it's in the New France area or something like that, and you may go into across the bridge there or something. Anyway, in that area. And we came around a certain way like that, and I turned around and looked, and there's only three kids. There's supposed to be four. Carol was either to the back or the front, or and I was back or front, kind of had them between us, but had gotten distracted for just a second, and I looked, and there's one missing. Now, I don't know about you, we'd planned on taking the four back that we came with, So, immediately, and it was Madeline that was missing, and I immediately said, "Where's Madeline?" And Carol, she goes into panic mode at that point, too, and says, "I don't know." And none of the kids knew. And we began to look in all directions, and it's kind of dusky. I mean, we're not talking about, super dark, but we're not talking super light either. It's kind of one of those difficult times to see. And other people picked up on the fact that we were panicking. And they said, "What's she look like? Where's she at?" And, I mean, we were freaking out. I mean, it was a hard time. Well, all of a sudden, we began to holler for Madeline. There she was. She had hidden behind a little tree. She thought it was funny. Yeah, our hearts were aching. But in a moment, we had severe panic. Some of you have been in that situation before. It may not have been over the lost child. It may have been over something else. But in particular today, it's a lesson I want to focus on. You can panic over a missing child. In our text, we're going to be talking about Jesus at age 12. Let's read the text. Every year, Luke chapter 2, verse 41, if you didn't catch it. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a whole day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. You see the panic, just like any of us would experience. All right, let's do the setting here a little bit, make sure we know the scene that's taking place. Jesus at this point is how old? 12. What has occurred in the book of Luke prior to this? Well, we've had the birth of Jesus and all that went along with that. We've also then, with other Gospels along with Luke, we know that Herod did not want this child to live, so he did a search for the child using the three magi to try to go out there and find out where he's at. But God made sure that the magi did not come back to Herod. So what happened then? Herod sent out a group of people, a group of soldiers, and they killed all the boys in Bethlehem, all the boy babies that were 2 years and under. But God had warned Joseph in a dream, and he took his family and went down to Egypt. So down there in Egypt, they stayed for a period of time. Once they had heard everything had settled down, that Herod had passed away, once things settled down, he then took his family all the way back up to Nazareth. And there, he as a carpenter raised his family. And he proceeded to do normal family things, like they'd always done. You know, having family meals, family gatherings, doing your work, taking care of the house, all those things that go with a family. So this is all that's taking place. In the meantime, Jesus has been growing older and older and older. He's gone through the elementary age now for us today, and he's hit 12 years old. That plateau that we like to hit, and then after that, they're considered much more responsible. Up until that time, just a child. But once you get over 12, especially the boys were expected to start acting more like men. So this is the setting. This is the situation. You'll notice in verses 1 and 2 that we have, verses 41 and 42. Every year the parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to their custom. What did they do? Well, why did they do it? The feast has come every year. What's so special about this feast? No, nothing special about this feast. They've been doing this how often? Every year. Why do they do it every year? Because God's Word commanded it. They have decided, Mary and Joseph have decided to be people of God. Even though they're Jewish by birth, they have decided to be people who keep God's teachings. So they have stepped out and made sure that their children, we're starting here with Jesus as their oldest, they're making sure their children have learned what they're expected of by God. They're not letting the kids dictate. Made their decision that they are going to be men and women of faith. So they're raising their children up to do that. One of the things they've decided to do at age 12, now they're going to take Jesus with them. Now, they may have been taking all the kids, but what happens in this situation is once you hit 12 years old as a boy, you kind of walk with the men. When you're 11 years old and under, you kind of walk with the whole family that's here. The men usually walk separate from the women. So that's probably how they travel. Jesus is going to the Passover. He's going to be doing it as a 12-year-old for the first time. It's a special status in the eyes of a Jewish male. And he is prepared to partake of the Passover. His parents have taught him to be obedient to the Lord. Now, you and I know him to be the Son of God. But remember, he still was man in the flesh. Okay, remember that. So, I can't tell you how that worked. I really can't. I just know this. We know later. If Jesus hung on that cross and did not struggle with all the physical things that people go through, all the temptation to want to get off that cross and all the dealing with all the anxiety and terror and everything, if he never experienced any of that thing in the same sense we do, then this whole thing is a waste of time. But the Bible says he was tempted just as we are in every way and overcame it. He faced the temptation of denying God just like anybody else did. But he did not do it. He was perfect. So understand, he is doing what God wants him to do. He's doing it the way God wants it done. And he's making his own decision to do that, even at 12 years old. He was taught this by his parents. So what does that tell you, parents? What does it tell me as a grandparent or as a parent? What are we supposed to do? The Bible tells us, teach your children from the time they're in the cradle till the time that you're no longer responsible for them, you teach them to obey all that God has instructed. Raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, is the way the text says, right? Raise them up. You know, you don't sit there and say, hey son, you want to go to church today? That ain't happening. You know, that's not happening. God's Word tells those parents that they're supposed to raise that child up. And that God's Word tells that child, you are to obey your parents. It didn't say pick and choose, did it? You're supposed to obey your parents. Until the day you walk out and have your own place, your own doing your own thing, you obey your parents. So this is what Jesus had done. Now, they have traveled. They've done the Passover. Verses 43 and 44, they don't make a double check. Anybody here ever do a double check? You know? Carol will tell you, I'm kind of, she'd probably say OCD about it, you know, somewhere along the line. But when we go on a trip, As we're loading everything up, I will make sure I'm the last one to leave that house. I will walk through the house. I will go make sure the refrigerator door is closed, the freezer door is closed. I'll go check to make sure that in the bathroom that there's no water running. I'll do whatever I got to do. I'll double check locks. I don't care how many times she's checked it already. I will still go check it. I will make sure. We do a lot of double checking, triple checking, that type of stuff. I don't think I was always that way, but working for the Department of Corrections a few years back, you learned that it was not the locked door that got you in trouble, it was the unlocked door. So you made sure you checked everything 100,000 times if you had to. So they don't make a double check here, though. What do? You notice in verses 43 and 44, it says here, after the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a day. They began looking for him among their relatives, and friends. Now you might say, how could this happen? How could this happen? Two loving parents, mom and dad, how could they not know where a 12-year-old boy is while they're traveling? Again, remember, go back to what I mentioned there a few minutes ago. Who did the 12-year-old boys usually walk with? Men. Who did the 11-year-olds and under usually walk with? All right. So, he's at that. Mom thinks he's with dad. Dad thinks he's with mom. Nobody talks and checks on it. No double check, whatever. I mean, it just happens. Now they have discovered. They get to the camp. They've traveled a whole day. And they start to set up camp. And, hey, where's Jesus? I thought you had him. No, I thought you had him. Well, let's check with Uncle So-and-so. All of a sudden, we are panicking. Where's Jesus? 12-year-old boy. We just left Jerusalem. Now, again, law and order is tough enough in this age. You can imagine what it was like back in Palestine days. All right? So, they're looking hard for him. They can't find him. Now, why didn't they immediately just load up and go right on back? Why did it take? It's a whole day trip to go from where they were at to their encampment. It was a whole day. They walked the whole day. Why didn't they just load up and walk right back and be there in 2 days or less than 2 days? Well, how many of you like to travel at night, walking with no lanterns? In areas where there's animals and also in where there's robbers and thieves, you want to travel in a group in daylight. So I'm pretty sure that they tossed and turned that night. Wouldn't you as a parent? As a matter of fact, I imagine some of us might have said, we got to go. And people with more common sense than we had at that moment would say, no, we need to wait. We're just going to pray he's okay. So they load up and they travel. So they've traveled out one day, they travel back one day. Pace back may have been a little quicker, but they traveled back. And then they find him. It's just 3 days they found him. And they're looking for him everywhere. You can see that failed parent look. I failed as a mom. I failed as a dad. Well, they had no choice, like I said, but to retrace their steps. Verse 45 tells us that. It says, when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. Verse 46 and 47 says here, and after 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. This is an amazing find. We are looking for a 12-year-old boy in a big city. Our fears are everywhere. We're apprehensive. We got anxiety all over the place. And we finally go to the temple, and guess who we find? And what is he doing when we find him? Is this not a proud parent moment? He's in there teaching scholars about God and about things of the Bible. And people are amazed at his understanding. You can almost see him walking in scared to death and then, whoa, that's our boy. You know, trepidation all over the place, anxiety all over the place. Anybody ever had that? And then one of your kids just deliver. You were scared to death for them, but they delivered. And all of a sudden, man, that's my boy. That's my girl. You know, anybody do that? Yesterday was the 1 year anniversary from senior night for volleyball for Camden High School. And Haley last year, for that night, was asked to sing a cappella the national anthem. I didn't know about it till I got there, and Heather told me they were going to be singing. And I can remember, man, I know she sings well. But, I mean, this is the national anthem, and with no music, I was scared to death for her. I had anxiety all over the place. But when she got done singing, I said, that's my granddaughter right there. There's no question, that's mine. You can tell. She got my genes. She got my DNA. So, I got to listen to that again last night because Heather had saved it on her Facebook account, so I got to listen to it. So again, I it was just kind of a special moment. But everybody's had those, you know. Kid gets great grades in school. On all of us guys who didn't do very well in school, we said, that's mine. And you can tell that's mine. We had that proud parent moment. Well, his parents got the proud parent moment because he's sitting there teaching scholarly people about God and things like that. Now, verse 48, though, tells us, when his parents saw them, of course, they're astonished. But then his mother has to chastise him and said, son, why have you treated us like this? You've given us a heart attack, son. You've scared us to death. Why would you put us through this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. So they are just as frustrated as they can be with this situation. And they just don't understand why he would do anything like this. It's almost dumbfounded to him. I can't believe you, son. Where were you thinking? Where did you have your thought process? You just put us through the ringer. Like the old fashioned. Those who remember the ringer they used to do the clothes with. I can remember my great grandparents talking about it. Okay, the ringer. So nobody caught that, right? Anyway, he then verse 49 and 50. Jesus educates them. Parents, have you ever had that situation where you said something and then you realize my kids got it together? My kid's smarter than I thought. My kid's excelling. I'm learning from my kid now. That type of thing. These things happen. It comes along every now and then, and it happens. Here in verse 49 and 50, Jesus says, well, why were you searching me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Now, the King James Version used to say, or it does say, didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business? Didn't you know I had to be doing the work of my Father? When he says to be in my Father's house, the temple, doing the work of God, I had to be there. But they did not understand what he was saying to them. They were struggling with everything, and Jesus is sort of saying, you need to get with the program. You need to get with the program. You need to understand who I am, what I'm here to do. You're supposed to be preparing me, yes, to be able to launch out and do my ministry, but get with the program and understand who I am and what I've been called to do. Now, it has a wonderful little ending to it, verses 51 and 52. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all of this. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That's one of our hopes, isn't it, when we raise our children? We'd like them to be pretty good at a lot of things. But we really want them to just be wise. We want them to be respected among their peers. We want those who are seeing them out there, other adults seeing them out there in public, they want to have that kind of respect for them. You'd like to have that among your children. You'd like to raise them. Yes, we all want them to have the greatest paying job in the world, and we want them to have all kinds of fame and fortune and talent and all that type stuff. But when you boil it all down, if you got a child that loves Jesus with all his heart, soul, and mind, and he is a person who is respected by those around him, you have done your job. You have done your job. And she's got one of these touching moments here now where she's got to see her son teaching in the temple and finding out a little bit more about who he is. And then he continues to respect his parents, listen to them, and he grows strong in spirit. And he grows strong in the spirit, and he lived in... I keep messing up there. Got on the wrong verse. And he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. It's hard to make a verse fit if you're reading the wrong verse and you're trying to tie it back in. All right. You tried it, but you can't pull it off. All right. So, what do we learn from this? What do we walk away from this thing? Well, what I learned is his parents are just like any other set of parents. And the boy is also somewhat just like any other boy in many ways. Yes, he was the son of God in the flesh. But our job is to teach our children properly, raise them doing the right things that God wants us to do, and when the time comes, we'll get to see them pleasing and honoring God. If we've planted our seeds and done what we're supposed to do, the day will come when they will bring honor and glory to God, and that will be one of those proud parent moments. Jesus is awesome. His parents didn't fully understand him till later. We don't fully understand him until we really get into him, when we walk in his ways, give our life to him, when we finally do all that to the full extent we should, we begin to see how wonderful and fantastic our Jesus is. A panic moment turned into a glory moment. So let's understand, not everything's going to ruin your life. Let's understand that. You can also use that opportunity to bring glory and honor to our Lord. Now, in order to truly help our Lord make disciples, you need to become a disciple. I've tried to tell you the way I see the Scriptures unfolding, and I freely admit to you, I could bring ministers in here from other denominations, I could bring them in here from different groups, and they would probably teach you a little different than I'm going to say it right now. And that will be debated until the Lord returns. All I can tell you is what I understand the Scriptures to say, and that is you need to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins and submit to being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins to get the Holy Spirit. We will immerse you in water. You'll be buried with Jesus. You'll be raised with Jesus. The old person of sin will have died. The new person in Christ will be raised. Make that decision if you need to. But don't come and stop there. Make sure you're committed to making Him Lord of your life and following Him the rest of the days of your life. Make that decision. If you're already an immersed believer, many of us are, and sin has weighed us down and grabbed a hold of us again, then repent of it. God, I am sorry. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm sorry. Repent of it. And tell Him and ask Him for forgiveness. If you need our prayer support, come. We'll pray with you about the matter. If you're an immersed believer, but you haven't joined the fellowship here, say, hey, I come as one who believes in Jesus, and as a believer, I was immersed into Jesus. As a believer, I am now ready to say, this is the church where I want to serve. I want to be a part of this fellowship. Just consider that. Place your fellowship. That way the elders here know who they are to shepherd without any question. And for the rest of us, in light of what God has revealed to us through the Word, let's make disciples. Let's make disciples for the Master.